the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
Welcome to another episode of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. This time around, it's episode 33, the big double threes on there, if you can believe it. I'm Blake Matheson. Along with me,
Eric Updike.
We're sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company. You can find them in-store in Dickinson or online at dakotarifle.co. And on this episode, we're going back to a little bit of turkey talk. We're going to be joined a little later on by a regional director for the National Wild Turkey Federation. His name's Jason Tarwater. He's going to be coming to us over the old phone out of Helena. Going to be talking about a Bingo for Conservation event they've got coming up here in Baker. He's going to give us some details on that, tell us what you can win, what's going on with that, and hopefully maybe give us some turkey tips. That would be nice.
Yeah, hopefully we can use all the help we can get.
At this point, I am a desperate man in the world of turkeys. Borderline about ready to abandon the old turkey pursuit. So hopefully maybe he can sway me another direction.
But oh, you stop that talk.
But before we move into our conversation with Jason, I think the biggest news for me, besides this event coming up for the Turkey Federation here in Baker in a week, my biggest event of the week was we proved that largemouth bass exist in Sandstone Reservoir.
Yes, we did.
Look at us go. Went out there. I was in the old canoe. Eric and his boys were in their kayaks and found the topwater action. Shout out to your boy Dax, because he was the first one with that whopper plopper tied on out there, and he had like a big pike blow up on it. And I had gotten no action on the spinnerbaits, which I was throwing that evening. And so when I saw that happen, you know, I'm a simple man. I see success on a lure. I've got that lure in my box. Probably going to tie that lure on. So I went to the old white whopper plopper, and I got a total of 3 largemouth bass, and they were all probably under 6 inches. Maybe at 6 inches if I was lucky, but they were small. Very, very ambitious bass to be eating a whopper plopper that was almost the same size as them, but still neat to catch a largemouth bass. Those were the first largemouth bass which I've caught since I moved to Montana.
Yeah, me too, honestly.
So that was pretty dang neat to see evidence of those. And I did miss a big fish. He blew up too far out on my whopper plopper for me to tell if it was a bass or a pike, but something of substantial size also blew up on that plopper that I missed. So if you go out to Sandstone on a nice calm evening, or maybe if you have an overcast but not windy day, just kind of lower light conditions, hit up that real shallow water along the weed edges or along the cattails there at Sandstone. Probably might find some bass hanging out.
You might even find a keeper.
Hey, that would be pretty neat. And I think it was really cool. The coolest thing about the small ones, I hope that that's a sign of them reproducing over the last year. I hope those are a new year class of bass, which we had caught there. And it's a sign that they don't just have to be stocked. That would be real neat.
Yeah, it would be neat. It'd be neat to have a nice bass pond close by.
Yeah, for sure. And so, cool development there. Definitely some largemouth bass swimming around in Sandstone. Other than that, I don't know if I've ever had the fishing itch so bad in my life as I do this week. Finally going to go out to Fort Peck. I've got it planned for this Saturday, so that'll be tomorrow when this episode comes out. I'll be headed to Fort Peck. My main target, the Mackinac, the Lakers, going for lake trout. I've been too busy watching YouTube videos about vertical jigging lake trout at Fort Peck, and now that I have a fancy trolling motor on my boat, it's time. Supposed to be a beautiful weekend up there. And just my goal, if I just catch even just one lake trout that's over 20 inches, I'm going to be stoked. I miss lake trout dearly. So, it's about all I can think of this week. It's been really distracting.
Yeah, for sure.
Wish you could go.
I do too. Dang it.
Just darn work.
I know.
But at least we did get the fishing in a little bit last Friday out at Sandstone and got the boys involved.
Yeah.
And that was pretty neat. And not only did we catch the bass out there, just a fun little side story there, had a plane buzz right over the top of our heads out there. That was kind of cool to watch.
You got a good picture there of Robert with the airplane. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Maybe I'll post that up with this episode. Maybe I'll put up a picture of one of my tiny bass and that plane flying over us. That was pretty cool. If he had like some floaties, what do you call those, a plane pontoons underneath him, I would have thought he was coming in for the landing.
Yeah, I was pretty close.
For sure. I was kind of hoping he'd come around, do a little circle action, come back over. But I'll take the one little dive. Like I said, got a neat picture out of it. So
yeah.
But so other than that, what you got anything? You got to go back to work here for a week. That's sorry to hear about that for you. But maybe you'll see some neat wildlife out on your travels around the boonies.
Yeah, I always do. That's a good part about working out in the country in the middle of nowhere. You always see lots of whitetail, and you never know. I've even ran into some elk out there.
What? Like a lot?
No.
Oh, I thought that was a big old herd, not one of them big just old once. Ginormous sneaky herds.
No, the antelope, they sure look good this year. Oh, I'm sorry, pronghorn. I know that drives you nuts.
You know, I saw a massive one when we were on our way out to Sandstone that last evening. There was a very tall horned antelope standing out there on one of them hills. And boy, that'd be nice if he stuck around to this next season, which we still haven't heard the results yet. Those should be coming out, what, beginning of August? They should have their pronghorn counts done and the draw about ready to go?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I sure hope so, man, because that'll be itching. I get why they do it, and we've talked about it before, but still just crazy to me. They give you like a month, maybe less, to technically prepare, knowing whether you are a tag holder or not.
Yeah.
That'd be tough to be a non-resident, admittedly, and be like trying to scramble and make that trip or not, like figure out if you need the days off or not. And I feel for it, but at least I live in this area. So.
Yeah, that's a plus, being here.
Yep. All right. Well, let's get into our conversation with Jason Tarwater here. Again, he's a regional director with the National Wild Turkey Federation. They've got a Bingo for Conservation event coming up in our area soon and having them all across Montana here over the next month or so. But we'll talk to Jason more about that coming up right now. On the line, we've got one of the regional directors for the National Wild Turkey Federation, Jason Tarwater, on the line. He's covering Idaho, Montana, dabbled in Wyoming a bit, it sounds like, but a regional director for National Wild Turkey action here. And so, big turkey guys, you consider that your main species you target on the hunt there, Jason?
I don't know about Maine. I mean, I think the great part about turkey hunting for most turkey hunters is just in the spring when there's not a lot of other things going on other than, you know, fishing and black bear for us. But I'm definitely a turkey hunting fanatic. Grew up in the Midwest, so that was kind of a religion for us in the spring. Not so much out in our part of the world, but it is becoming more popular. So, yeah, I do enjoy it, but I also do enjoy upland hunting, waterfowl hunting, a lot of archery hunting for big game. So I kind of dip in all of it.
Right on. Well, we sure appreciate you joining us today as regional director for the National Wild Turkey Federation there. How long have you been involved in the NWTF?
So I have been an employee for almost 11 years, like a little over 10 and a half years now.
Wow. So are you? Do you work full-time with them?
I do. Yep.
Dang. Awesome. Congrats. And so how long did it take you to work up the ladder to regional director?
The organization, it was this position. I was just covering all of our fundraising for Montana and Wyoming, and then during that pesky COVID time frame, I ended up, we had to do some transitioning of areas. I took over Idaho at that point also.
Cool. And where do you live at the moment?
I'm currently in Helena, Montana.
Right on. So you visited old Baker in our area here before?
Yeah, I've been there a few times, meeting with folks that might be interested in, you know, getting chapters together or volunteering some time, which is kind of how this bingo night came about.
Oh, yeah, right on. And speaking of, so that's kind of the main deal we brought Jason on for this episode, talking about the event they have coming up here in Baker at The Garage. It's the Bingo for Conservation, a National Wild Turkey Federation event going on here. It's part of a bunch of bingo events going on throughout Montana, pretty much through August. But this one at The Garage, going to get $40, I believe, is what gets you involved with the bingo games. Is that correct? Gets you involved in playing there?
Yeah. So we have different packages of the number of bingo cards that you want to play with. But the smallest entry is $40. Also gets you an annual membership to the NWTF, so you'd be becoming a member of the organization just for playing also.
So how does that work if you're already currently a member?
So if you're already a member, it just tacks on a whole another 12 months for whatever your membership expiration date it currently is.
Nice. Perfect. Where is our closest chapter to those of us here in eastern Montana, like Fallon County, Carter County, those of us out here, where would we be looking to meet with our fellow NWTF group?
On the Montana side, Billings is where you have to go for that. I do believe probably closer chapter would be in North Dakota. Since I don't cover North Dakota, I'm not 100% sure on that. But I do believe that would be closer. But that's kind of the whole reason behind the bingo night is, one, obviously, it's fundraising. But two is just to get the NWTF and the organization and what we do in front of some locals and in front of some people, have some fun with it, some awesome prizes we give away at it. But a lot of it's kind of a recruitment night / fundraising fun event. So I've just found over the years that it's easier to get people to show up to events where they might win some cool stuff as opposed to just coming to a sit-down meeting. So that's kind of the whole goal of this is to raise some money and then maybe hopefully pique some interest of some folks that might want to volunteer and maybe start a chapter locally there in Baker.
Sure. What would it take to get a chapter started? What are some of the qualifications for that?
We don't have like a black and white, you got to have this and that. Obviously people, chapters consist of a chapter president, chapter treasurer, vice president, secretary, kind of like your normal build. But we don't have like a minimum of X amount of volunteers. I have chapters that I work well with that are 2 to 4 people that just get after it and do a good job. And I've got chapters up to 20 and 30 people that do a good job. So, but for the most part, it's just getting a group together and then hosting, typically one large fundraising event, which is normally it's our banquet. And anybody that's been to any banquet, whether it's us or any of the other conservation groups, kind of already has an idea of what that is. Live auctions, silent auction raffles, dinner, that sort of thing. Outside of that, any other fundraising events, I've got chapters that do 2 or 3 fundraising events a year. And then outside of that, it's kind of what the chapter wants to do. Got chapters that do a lot of outreach and like we have a big youth program, Jake's program, Women in the Outdoors program that we've done some educational events around. And then, started to get more interest from some folks. We do have a wheel and fortune program, which is kind of geared towards those that just need some assistance getting out and about, whether it's hunting or fishing or shooting, whatever it might be. So I'm hoping to maybe potentially grow that across the state as well.
Awesome. And then would you mind highlighting maybe a couple projects that you've heard some of those chapters doing across Montana, which maybe some like habitat improvement projects or anything like that, which the NWTF has recently been involved in our state?
Yeah, most of our habitat stuff is going to be mainly just through funding and working with our partners that are like the land management agencies, so BLM, Forest Service, Fish, Wildlife, Parks in some cases. We did actually just this past weekend had a big group of volunteers get together up by Great Falls on a block management area. The landowners kind of just took the area over. It's been enrolled in block management for a while and it's going to continue to be. But they just want to make it more wildlife friendly. And there was a bunch of old fencing, old hay lots that were, anywhere from 4 to 7 strand barbed wire fence. And anybody that's been out, whether upland hunting or what, you've seen these old fence lines and stuff. And so we all got together and instead of just paying to have somebody come in and remove it, we got together and just had a volunteer field day. So we had, 15 or 16 folks show up and made pretty quick work of a bunch of old fence. So that was pretty neat. Landowners really enjoyed it. Fed us lunch, which was awesome on their part. But they were super appreciative of the help.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm always super appreciative of any sort of improvement project for block management. We're big proponents of block management here on the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. But we're talking to one of the National Wild Turkey Federation's regional directors, Jason Tarwaters, on the line with us. We're talking about Bingo for Conservation. That's an event coming up with the NWTF here Friday, August 1st in Baker at The Garage. Go and get yourself a NWTF membership. Play some bingo. Maybe win some prizes. That'd be pretty neat. And, I think that this is the only question that I didn't quite prepare you for before we jumped on the recording here, Jason. And it's kind of a broad one. But as somebody who now has, we'll call it 2 full turkey seasons under his belt and no turkey to show for it, do you have any advice for me going forward into next spring? What would you tell a guy who has been finding failure in the turkey field? Just give me some brief advice that you would give to someone in my situation.
Oh man. Obviously just keep at it. That's the generic answer. I think from a beginner's perspective, what I tell a lot of people is finding the birds is like most of the battle. And the easiest way to do that, well, there's two ways to do that. One is late winter, kind of early spring. Usually it's around that March time frame. Our turkeys in Montana traditionally like to flock up in the wintertime. That's how they survive, wherever there's a food source. Sometimes it's a cattle feedlot, sometimes it's ag fields, but traditionally you can find big flocks of birds. What happens when our turkey season kind of gets rolling and spring gets moving is those birds will disperse from that wintering area. But if you can find them in March, find big flocks, obviously mark them, and kind of start your scouting from there. The other way, once you get more into season, is on calm mornings, calm evenings, get to a high point, obviously where there's some timber. That part of the country where you guys are at, the ponderosa pines are amazing. Get to high points and just listen. Those birds, almost every morning in the spring, if it's calm, you'll be able to hear them a long ways away, at least where they're roosting. So that's how I tell people just when it comes to finding them. From that point on, getting good with your calling, simplest is a box call or a flake call. But turkeys, and if you're familiar with calling elk in September, kind of act the same. So there is that. Obviously, you're not gobbling at turkeys to get them to fight like you're bugling at bulls, but the hen calls are just as effective as, you know, cow calls in September. So, and like I said, they do act the same. They have flocks of hens, and sometimes they're just stubborn and they will not leave because they have hens. So I usually like hunting. I get more excited into April and the first part of May. Usually the weather's better for one. Sometimes the early turkey seasons can kind of be brutal. And in my head, turkey hunting is a nice weather activity. even though I have killed some birds in snowstorms. But yeah, as you get through April and get into May, what happens is those hens get bred. And they will end up leaving the toms mid-morning to go sit on nest. And what that does is it ends up leaving toms looking and desperate and without hens. And when you can find them kind of late morning, midday, which is a great thing about turkeys, is you can hunt them all day long. And they're active and vocal all day long. But if you can find a bird, you know, a tom that's alone, middle of the day, then your odds have went up a lot to be able to at least get him into gun range.
Yeah, I never really pondered a lone tom out there after all of his hens have gone to roost on a nest. I really never pondered leaving the tom lonely there. That's something to think about for sure. And thanks for all those tips there, Jace. That's such good information you've given us in that little brief synopsis there. But one question that I've been asking all the turkey folks we've had, kind of my final tip question I'll try to pry out of here. But where do you lie on the need of a decoy? Do you think you can find turkey success without decoying? Or do you think that's something that the vast majority of the time you're going to be carrying with you?
A lot of that for me personally depends on terrain and cover. Again, going back to the comparison with elk, if a turkey can see where the call is coming from and they are not seeing a turkey, there's a good chance that they're going to hang up and not commit. So a lot of that depends on the country I'm hunting. If it's open ag fields, wheat, stubble, you know, hay fields, and I know those birds are able to pinpoint where that call is coming from, you know, 100, 200 plus yards away, most likely I'll have a decoy with me. But my favorite is getting in the pines, getting up in the hills, using the terrain and the cover, and running without a decoy. And just thinking about, I guess, reversing the roles and putting yourself in the shoes of that tom, hearing a hen call, which obviously is you. If he has to come up and over a hill to look at where that call is coming from, it gives you a perfect opportunity to be on top of that hill or just over the rise of a hill. Or if it's just thick enough trees, even sagebrush sometimes where, you know, in areas where it's tall. But if they can't see, they have to go looking. And that's when you can really, really fool them.
So do you prefer to use a jake or a hen or a tom decoy?
It kind of, again, it also depends. Sometimes it just depends on the mood that I'm in for the morning. But A hen for sure, especially if you think you're going to put on a lot of miles. For me, that's just due to weight and ease. Jake and hens can be very effective earlier in the season when the birds are still figuring out their hierarchy. Because again, like elk, a flock will have a dominant tom and then subordinate toms, Jakes. So early season, they're figuring out that pecking order. A lot of times those male decoys, a Jake or even another tom that's half strut or full strut, a lot of times that'll get them mad enough to come in. But again, I traditionally only do that if it's private land that I have permission on, if it's a big flock of birds, if I know it's going to be difficult to call them. If I'm kind of running and gunning and looking for that lone tom in the middle of the day, if I do have a decoy, it's usually just a hen decoy just for, honestly, ease of packing it around and weight and everything else.
Sure. Right on. Well, thanks for all that information. We sure appreciate you letting us pick your brain here, Jason, along with just telling us about Bingo for Conservation. But one more time, reminder about that. Bingo for Conservation coming up with the National Wild Turkey Federation in Baker, Friday, August 1st. That's next week, starting at 5 o'clock at The Garage. Bring $40 base level to get involved in Bingo and get your NWTF membership going. And, I think that's all my questions that I had for the moment. Eric, you got anything else?
No, that sums it up for me.
Right on. And, Jason, is there anything you'd like the public to know? Floor's yours if you'd like to let the folks know anything out there.
Oh, I mean, just be great to have a bunch of folks that are unfamiliar with the organization show up to the Bingo and have a good time. Like you said, we have a lot of them scattered across the state over the next month and a half, kind of our non-traditional fundraising season. And Bingo, people like it. It's fun, it's engaging, and again, we've got prizes from Paul's to Mystery Ranch Packs to Montana Knife Company Knives, and there will be a few people that do win some guns. So
nice.
Bingo and guns usually is a good time.
Sounds like yeah, for sure. I'd be in for sure. All right. Well, Jason, we sure appreciate your time today, and who knows, maybe someday I'll be able to tell you about finding some turkey success.
I hope so.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks again to Jason Tarwater, a regional director for the National Wild Turkey Federation, or NWTF. Go and check out that Bingo for Conservation night at The Garage starting at 5 o'clock Friday the 1st, a week from today. Go and try to win yourself some prizes and become a member. Go talk some turkeys with some like-minded folks.
Absolutely. Sounds like a good time to me.
Yep. And thanks for his time to Mr. Tarwater. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, I'm your host, Blake Matheson, along with my co-host,
Eric Updike.
We're sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company of Dickinson. Find them online at dakotarifle.co or just go to the Googs. Google Dakota Rifle Company. You can find them that way as well. Probably even find you some directions to drive on over to their store, see what they got in there. And we'll catch you on episode 34 in a couple weeks on the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.